Okay, Matthew 5:17, and boy, he's got a lot to cover, so we're just not going to review it all. We're just going to pick it right up here. Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now, my first question to you is this. What did Jesus say he came to do concerning the law? He came to fulfill it. Please notice, that's how he starts this whole passage off that we're about to go into. He did not come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it. Okay? What does that mean? How did he fulfill the law? Well, he did it two ways, the way I see it. Number one, he's the only human, if you'll allow me, the only person since Adam, since the fall of Adam, to be able to keep it. Remember, he says, which of you convinces me of sin? In other words, follow me around, see if you find any. You're not going to find any. He was the only one able to truly fulfill the law. So he was the only one not guilty by the law. And that brings up the second part. That made him the only person qualified to be the final sacrifice of the law. So I'm already wanting to run. He fulfilled it two ways. He lived it. Then he turned right around as the only innocent one ever to become the sacrifice, the final sacrifice, the eternal sacrifice of the law. He has fulfilled the law. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. Now, start mentioning this, and God is love. Remember 1 John? God is love more than once, says it in there. Well, Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. So could you say Jesus is love? I like to say it this way. Jesus is love with legs. Jesus is the love you can see walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see? But now notice this. Now, these, I'm going to ask you to turn to it. Okay, do some finger exercises. Get your Bibles or ready to tap on glass. I want you to see some of these. You might make sure that you know that they're in your Bible. Romans 8. Your Bible should just fall open there. Romans 8, verse 4. Hallelujah. Boy. Romans 8, 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be, what's that word? Well, wait a minute. Jesus fulfilled the law. Uh-huh. And now Christ is in you. And guess what? He's fulfilling the law in you. Let me actually read it. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Well, how does that happen? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I know if you've got a King James Bible, it has a capital S there. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was alive and well in the Old Testament. Thank you very much. The Holy Spirit has no problem walking in this. It's us. So God put a new nature birthed by the Holy Spirit. It's the very nature of Christ. It's His nature in you. And we have now been empowered to walk in the same righteousness that He walked in. And that's how we fulfill the law. But it's love in us. So let me read it again. That the righteousness of the law might be filled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the little S spirit, that new nature that He put on the inside of you. We'll get to it in a minute. Well, actually, I'm coming right up to it here. Don't want to get ahead of my notes. So you're in Romans 8. Just turn over to 13 for a moment. And there's so much. Volumes could be taught just on this one subject. Even though this seems like I'm stretching out the Sermon on the Mount, I'm doing everything I can to keep it short. I know it seems like it's taking forever. It's not. Every lesson could go on for a week or a month. I mean, it's just so much. So Romans 13, now look at this. We're going to look at verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to what? I owe you love. I owe you that. I'm in debt to you. I owe you. Owe no man anything. Well, except this. Love one another. I owe you that. I'll never get it paid in full. No matter what you do to me, I love you. Because Christ in me loves you. For he that loveth another, now notice, hath fulfilled the law. God is love. Jesus is love in the flesh. Christ is in you. Love is in you. Christ is still fulfilling the law by loving through you. Thank you very much. Was that good or what? Gee-many Christmas. I hope that's not cursing. Hallelujah, gee-many. For this, he starts listing off some of the things out of the law of Moses. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, in other words, the whole law, 600 and some odd commandments, Alan was saying recently, 600 and some odd of them, it is briefly comprehended. Today we would say it is summarized. All of it you can summarize in this one statement. It is briefly comprehended or summarized in this saying. Well, what's the saying? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, here it is again. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, one more. Go over to Galatians 5. We'll look at verse 22 and 23. Because let's look at the fruit of the new nature. The fruit of that spirit. Now, I know, again, in the King James, it's going to have the word spirit capitalized here, like it's the Holy Spirit. Well, it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but that's not the subject. The subject in Galatians 5. See, the Holy Spirit, do you think he has any trouble overcoming the flesh? It's not talking about that. It's talking about that the change that has happened in us when we got born again from the Holy Spirit. It's the nature of Christ. So you need to put a little S. Mark out that big S so you don't forget. Put a little S there. For all the law, say all. I'll do a Nathan. Say all. For all the law. Say it again. All. Say all the law. Is fulfilled. In one word. Even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's not the verse I wanted to read. So go to Galatians 5:22. We already did that one. But the fruit of the Spirit is, man, it's the new nature. That is the fruit of the little S, Spirit. That's the nature. Say, nah, it's not me. Well, it's you or you're not born again. That seed is in you or you're not born again. Because that's his nature. You got it when you got born again or you're not born again. Well, I don't act like it. Now we're talking a different game. We're talking about fruit. Okay? And that's what he's talking about. Fruit takes time, by the way. I'm reminded again. Fruit takes time. My dad used to plant these little peach trees. And I remember the first time, it might have been a two-year-old peach tree. It wasn't very tall. And there's little marble-sized, well, maybe, I don't know. Y'all know what a steely is, playing marbles? Anyway, a little bigger. Now everyone's going, how old are you? Getting on up there. So, hallelujah, she knows what a steely is. Anyway, you know, little bitty peach about yay big. There's another one. Man, I'm going to have a peach today. Peaches are delicious. Mm-hmm. Bite into that little peach. You thought you bit into the most bitterest thing that ever was on God's earth. You say, this can't be a peach. Yeah, it is. It's a genuine, 100% bona fide peach. But it is not mature. That's the way most Christians are. It's not that you don't have that seed of love in you, But you got steely love. You got marble love here. People take a bite of that, they go, woo, bitter. Well, I need maturity. Don't you wish there was a church where you could learn how to mature, grow up, let that fruit develop? Oh, this is that church. Thank God for Pastor Dave. Hallelujah. He's sitting right back there. Glory to God. I think he's getting more handsome every year myself. Man. All right. But the fruit of the Spirit, little s, is the very first one, is love. Well, that's the very love that we fulfill the law by, because real love in you does not do its neighbor any harm. It doesn't do any. You're not going to steal from your neighbor if you love your neighbor. You're not going to lie. You're not going to do any of those things. Okay. Can't, like I say, weeks could be taught just right there. See, God is love. Let me go through it again. God is love. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. If you want to know the truth of it, Christ is God manifested in your flesh. Okay? So Christ in you is love. The fruit of Christ in you is love. So let's say it this way. You are a good tree producing love fruit everywhere you go. Might be steely love. Keep praying. Keep meditating. Keep fasting. That fruit will mature. Now, love is the spirit we are to be led by. See, you're still in Galatians chapter 5, back up to verse 18. See, love is the very spirit that we've been born of. Remember when John and James, the sons of thunder, they were wanting to call down fire from heaven to consume that motel? Well, we'd call it a motel today. It was an inn in Samaria. They wouldn't rent them a room because they're Jews. And he said, you want me to call down fire from heaven? Heaven will burn this Motel 6 to a crisp right here. Or whatever it was. Well, get real. It was a real place. It was an inn, you know. We're going to torch this place. And Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are of? Well, they were of the spirit of fallen man. They were of the spirit of Adam. We've been born of the spirit of love. Because God is love, right? So here in Galatians 5:18, when it says, but if you be led of the Spirit. Now, again, that is not talking about the Holy Spirit. I know it has capital S. Make sure that you correct that. Put a little S there. It's talking about your new nature. If you be led of the Spirit. I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to substitute, because that Spirit, that nature in you, is Christ in you. It's God in you. It's love in you. Let me say it this way. If you be led by love, you're not under the law. Why? Because love fulfills the law. Love in you will fulfill the law. If you be led by the new nature, you're not going to lie to people. You love them. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to sleep with your neighbor's wife or anybody else's wife or husband. Okay. Hallelujah. Got that? If you be led by love, you're not under the law of Moses. That has been fulfilled. How was it fulfilled? Love fulfilled it. And love still fulfills it in you. All right, next verse. Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. Is that a spell? Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, we would say today, not one crossing of the T, not one dot of the I shall pass from the law. But notice, till all be what? There are actually people here. Till all be, thank you, till all be fulfilled. Thank you. See, you know what he's really saying here? No one has the right to lower the bar. No one has the right to do that. The law, as given through Moses, is the very righteousness of God. I could give you verses, many of them, where it talks about the law is perfect and pure and holy and on and on and on. But it also says that if there was a law given that could bring life, life would have come by the law, but the law couldn't give life. Okay, don't want to stray too far there. I want to say it again. Nobody, what he's saying, nobody has the right to lower the bar. Why not? Well, number one, it's God's law, not yours. You have no right. God gave this law through Moses. It's his law. You have no right to change it. But the real reason that you can't change it, or you better not, the law was given as our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What does that mean? That sounds real fancy. What does it mean, Gary? The law is impossible to keep for the unregenerate man. It's absolutely impossible. Say that word with me. Impossible. Impossible. Say it again. It is impossible for the natural man to keep the law. See, that's why nobody is allowed to lower that standard. If you lower it, you start making it possible. And the whole point is that when men try to keep the law, I don't care who they are, they'll find out something pretty quick. Can't keep it. And I mean the best of men, the best of them, can't keep it. And if you lower that standard, and we're going to get to some examples of how the Pharisees did exactly that in a minute. If you lower that standard to make men think, oh, I'm okay. Oh, I don't have to keep all the law. I can fornicate and still make heaven. Or other things. I mean, I'm taking, you know, just picking on that one. I can steal. I can continue. I'm a pretty good thief. I continue making my living as a thief. And I can still make heaven. No, you can't. No, that's why nobody is, not one jot, not one tittle will pass away till all be fulfilled. Because for the unregenerate man, the law is his school. So a guy said, well, how are you going to get to heaven? Well, I'm a pretty good guy. Well, have you ever lied once? Well, maybe once. Yeah, they're lying right then. Have you ever stole anything at all? Did you ever steal anything? You know, did you? See, the law, all you got, well, pretty good guy's not good enough. You got to keep it 100%. And if you don't keep it 100%, you're going to hell. That's your schoolmaster. What? First time you've heard the law, you've already broken it 1,000 times. You're already doomed. You're already gone to hell. You know what I'm saying? And, well, what's your only hope? That's your schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. Nobody is allowed to lower the standard of the law. The Pharisees did it all the time. I'm going to give you some examples in a minute. Now, Romans 3. Go ahead and turn there. Now, if we start running out of time, I'll just have to give them to you. You look them up later, but we're doing pretty good. Romans chapter 3. Oh, I remember when I heard Dave teach this. Dave broke most of these. You know, I remember the first time I heard him teach this passage. It was just so good. And when you can't improve on something, you just steal Dave's stuff, you know. But when he's here, you got to give him credit. I mean, Romans 3, 19 through 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Well, who would that be? That's the Jews, right? So the law says that to the Jews, but notice that every mouth, the whole world, this is what Dave, he brought out. I'd never really seen it before, even though it says it plainly. He says, the law says what it says to the Jews, but the reason is that the whole world, every mouth may be stopped. And all the world, that's Jew and Gentile, that's everybody, all the world may become guilty before God. Dave would say it this way. I think this is almost verbatim. Dave would say, look, world, behold the Jew. I gave them the law. They could not keep it. I want you, world, to look at them as an example. Because if they couldn't keep it, neither can you. The whole world is guilty. I about had a running fit that day. I finally understood what that verse was talking about. So therefore, verse 20, don't leave out verse 20. Therefore, can you imagine what Paul is writing this to the Romans, which is a born-again people, but those that know the law, these are Jewish born-again people. Can you imagine what this sounded like? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Well, why not? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, that's when you find out you're a sinner. I'm a pretty good guy. How are you going to make it to heaven? Well, I'm a pretty good guy. Do you ever lie once? Here I go again. Bring up God's law. Don't lower it. Have you ever lied one time? Pretty sure I have. One time. Liar. You're already guilty. You already, by the law of God, if you don't lower the standard, there's the knowledge of sin. You find out you're already guilty. There's no hope for you. You're already doomed to hell forever. What do I do? Let me tell you about Jesus, who paid the price that you deserve. God, there we go. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The purpose of the law, well, God used the law for the purpose of every man coming to the knowledge, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Thank God we have one. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. The law is impossibly high. It's so high, nobody could keep it. No unregenerate person can keep it. Yet if you do not keep it, you are damned to an eternity in hell. See, we turn into Romans 7. Now you know the agony of the man in Romans 7. He was a man who had been given the law. He wanted to keep it, but he had no capacity to keep it. All right. Now, this is somebody who's not born again. Romans 7, we'll pick it up in verse 22. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In other words, I read God's law. I like it. If I had time, we'd do the whole thing where he's, so I set myself, I'm not going to do that evil thing anymore, but I wind up doing it. Then I'm going to start doing this good thing over here, but I never quite get around to doing that, you know. But he says, I delight, but he loves the law. He reads it. He says, man, I ought to be able to do this. I want to do this. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Oh, but I see another law. Say another law. See, it's a law. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. And notice that law that's in his members, it's stronger than mind power. It's stronger than human willpower. In his mind, he wants to keep the law. He's using natural human willpower trying to keep it. But he found out there is a law that's stronger than the human will, the unregenerate human will. That law that's in my members that wars against the law of my mind, it brings me into captivity. He's literally talking about slavery to the law of sin, which is in my members. And no matter how hard I try, how long I try, I keep being brought as a captive, as a slave, back to this law of sin that's in my members. You can just hear him crying out, oh, wretched man that I am. God, I want to serve you. I want to live according to your law. I love you, God. I agree with my mind. Your law is good, but I can't keep it. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, before he's born again, this is his condition. With my mind, I serve the law of God. But with my flesh, I'm serving the law of sin. Thank God the Bible doesn't end at Romans 7. Now you have the transition from that guy to the born-again person in Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But notice, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, little s. It's talking about that law of Christ. The Jesus in one place, those that follow me will not walk in darkness, for they shall have the light of life. you have been born again. And he tells about that here. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, notice, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, you're still, have you, pat your arm. You still got members? There's a law in it. It wants you to, it still wants you to sin. It don't care about the Bible. It don't care about Jesus. It wants what it wants when it wants it. It's still got the mantra of the hippies in the 70s, if it or 60s. If it feels good, do it. If it feels really good, do it again. Anyway. That's the flesh. It doesn't care. Your flesh still has the motions of sin working in it. And it's going to try and get you to sin. And it's not just your flesh. It's the unrenewed parts of the mind, you know. But there is a law in you when you got born again. The very nature and life of God. Jesus called it the light of life come into you. And he says, those that follow me, they're not going to walk in darkness. Why? Because they're going to have the light of life. He put in you the same thing that caused him, enabled him to walk free from sin. It's that same light of life. And you don't have to sin anymore. You don't have to. Now here we come to Romans. By the way, that light of life comes into you in righteousness, full grown, from the day you get born again. Now that new man in you doesn't know everything. It's got to be taught by the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of things that needs to be taught. But when it comes to righteousness, I still remember those first 2 weeks when I got born again. If you see me the first day after I got saved, you'd have thought I wasn't saved. Because I'm sitting there. All I know is all I want to do is read my Bible. I didn't even care about going to work, really. I had to after a while. But anyway, I'm sitting there with my ugly, my ratty blue bathrobe, bedhead, smoking, drinking my bourbon and coke, reading my Bible and crying like a baby. You think that guy's not even saved? Oh yeah, I was. First 2 weeks. I mean that in 2 weeks, there's a new sheriff in town. There's preaching from the inside. It's going, well, that, you know, that I just went to bed an alcoholic, woke up free. I haven't had a drink since. That was 40 years ago. Pornography had to go. What? I'm not going to belabor. Within 2 weeks, don't tell me that that new nature doesn't come in grown up in righteousness. It immediately went after cussing, pornography, drinking, smoking. Actually, see, most of you know I smoked a long time. Most of you don't know he delivered me of smoking and I walked free of it about 6 months and then I backslid it back into it. Then it was harder to get free that round. Plus, I had a lot of false doctrine. Okay, that's another subject. But anyway, he delivered me. I got free the first 2 weeks. Walked free of that for about 6 months and then backslid back into it. Don't tell me righteousness doesn't come in full grown. It does too. You don't have to sin. Now, does God give you space to repent? He even gave Jezebel and her followers in the book of Revelation space to repent. But it's not forever. It's not forever. Okay. Hallelujah. So the new birth is this. Romans 7 is the dilemma. There you have the guy. He's like every guy that's been given the law and can't keep it. Who? He finally has to turn to a who instead of a what. Who shall deliver me? Not what. Who? See, that's the whole point of the law. You need a Savior. You need a who. You don't need religion. You don't need more rules. You don't need... What you need is a who. You need a Savior. Someone who can come on the inside of you and change you, you outfit. Hallelujah. Change you from a bad tree to a good tree. And so I'm going to read, I already had it on here, John 8:12. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Why? But shall have the light of life. Man, that's Romans 8, verse 2 right there. Okay, go to Romans 6. Doing pretty good. I'm halfway through the pages. We're halfway through the hour. Going pretty good. Romans 6. starting in verse 17, and I'd love to start in verse 1, but God be thanked that you were, notice past tense, the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now I'm going to stop for a moment. Big part of the church world today has not even heard the doctrine. You've been made free from sin. They heard it. And then after they heard it, they still had a choice. Are you going to obey it or not? I had a choice those first 2 weeks on every one of those things. I could have kept drinking, could have kept cussing, could have kept my pornography stuff, could have kept on. Well, wait a minute, weren't you born again? Yes, I was. He was preaching to me from the inside that I was free. Okay? But it was my choice whether to obey it. Much of the church world has never even been told that they are free from sin. Okay? And I hate to say this, much of the church world, because they've been taught that way, they're not free from sin. I'm telling you right now, the church is full of unborn again people. The church at large. They don't have the preacher on the inside. They're not really born again. Okay? So, they've never really heard the gospel. Well, Paul is saying to these Romans, you heard it. The truth, and you obeyed it from the heart. Now notice, here's the doctrine that they were taught. He tells you right here, verse 18. This is the doctrine that they received. Being then made free from sin. There's so much of the church world doesn't believe that at all. They've never even been taught that. And their experience tells them that they're not that. We're changing that here. Others are changing it. It's not just us. But one of our missions is to stand up in the face of the church world and declare without shame, Jesus makes you free from sin. From the day you get born again, there's a new nature that comes on the inside of you, preaching from the inside out. And if you obey that, you're going to walk free from sin. May take a little while, won't take very long. You'll be walking free. Okay? Now, this is the doctrine that they heard and obeyed, being then made free from sin. That's the doctrine. When they heard it and obeyed it, they became. Notice it says you became. Being then made free from sin, that's a fact. That's the gospel. You became the servants of righteousness. How did they become that? By obeying what they heard, by believing it, by saying no to the flesh, by saying no to sin. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Trust me, our flesh is still infirm. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Later on, we're going to look at that verse. It says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He's saying, we all used to do that. For as you have past tense, yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, that's the Romans 7 guy, he plainly tells you, there's another law working in my members that wars against my mind, that keeps bringing me into this bondage is servant. I become a slave to sin. Okay. He says, then you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then, Gary? See, drunkenness, pornography, greed, cussing, being mean to everything that moved practically. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? And I am ashamed of those things. For the end of those things is death. Here he says it again. But now, and this is the doctrine much of the church world has not even heard. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I want to remind you, Jesus called it the light of life. That's the gift of God. You didn't earn it. It's a gift. You receive it by His grace through faith when you believe the gospel. It's the light of life. Light. And if you follow that light, you will not walk in darkness. That's what Jesus said. But the gift of God, not trying to keep the law, it's the gift of God. He writes His law in your hearts and in your minds through that nature of Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you receive Him, you receive the life. And that life empowers you to walk free from sin. Glory to God. Okay. Going on to verse 19. Hey, we've done two verses. Okay. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do, oh, I say do. Do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What in the world? Sounds like he's putting us back under the law. No, what he's really doing, you'll see it in the context here in a minute. What he's really saying here, nobody is allowed to lower the bar. The Pharisees did this all the time. You're in Matthew, going over to Matthew 15. I'm just going to give you a couple of examples here. Matthew 15, chapter 1. No, verse 1. Matthew 15, verse 1. By the way, here comes the scribes and Pharisees to challenge Jesus. Don't ever challenge Jesus. Just clue phone, ring, ring. Don't challenge Jesus. Okay. So then came to, Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, I can just almost hear their, here we go with the toad thing. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? And when he says commandment of God, he could have said the law. Why do you transgress the law by your tradition? Today they'd go, what? What? What are you talking about? For God commanded, or you could say through the law. He's holding up this, remember the bar? He's holding up the standard right here. God commanded. This is the law saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. That's what the law says. But you say, now here's where they lowered the bar. Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, oh, it's a gift. In other words, I'm going to give that money to God. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Okay. It is a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother. He shall be free. In other words, you don't have to obey the law. If you're just going to give that money to the temple. Give it to the church today. Yeah, just give it to God. Then you don't have to take care of your elderly parents, you know. Thus, you have made the commandment of God. Now, he's talking about the law here. You have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. I put in here for me. You have lowered the bar. See, people that would hear that doctrine and obey that doctrine, they think they're okay because the guy who's supposed to know what he's talking about, the scribe and the Pharisee at that time, the preacher from the pulpit at this time, they've lowered the bar. Oh, I can just give them, I don't have to do that anymore. I can just give some money to the church and I don't have to take care of my parents. I'm okay. No, you're not okay. Because that is not love. That is not love. Your mama and daddy that changed your diapers and fed you and you was a little baby and now they need your help and you're gonna, no, no. No, that's not love. That's not fulfilling the law. Not by any measure. It'd get worse than that. Boy, if you underline, you hypocrites. Who's he talking to? Scribes and Pharisees. Today be preacher in the pulpit. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. They honoreth me with their lips. But their heart is far from me. There's been no change of heart. But, oh my goodness, we'll come back to this. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Then he makes this astounding statement. Come on down and come back to Matthew 5 for just a minute. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 20. We're doing okay. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, this had to be a stunning statement to all the people listening right then, because the scribes and the Pharisees, they were seen in the eyes of the people as the very standard of righteousness. You know, they're, oh my goodness, if I could ever walk like a scribe or a Pharisee, because they didn't know all the stuff going on behind the scenes. Yet Jesus says the common man in the kingdom of God would have a higher righteousness than the scribes and Pharisees. Do you notice in that verse we read a while ago, Jesus said, in vain they do worship me, teaching for commandments the doctrines of men. In vain do they worship me. This is Gary's paraphrase of the attitude of the scribes and the Pharisees. I'm going to change God's law and lower the bar to my own benefit, so that the money that the people would be using to support their elderly parents, it's going to come to the temple instead. And I'm going to get a part of that. Then right after I do that and get their money, well, then I'm going to go back into the temple. I'm going to lift my hands and worship God and tell Him how much I love Him. Another place, Jesus called them extortioners. Through their doctrine, they were devouring widows' houses. And then they'd go in and worship, and they did it knowing what they're doing. Then they go in and worship God. If you think that kind of stuff's not going on in the pulpits today, you got another thing coming. There is no, remember, what fulfills the law? Love is the fulfilling of the law. There's no love for God in that scribe and Pharisee's heart. He plainly said their heart is far from God. If you write anything down, write this down. There is no. Remember, he says God's looking for those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. There is no true worship of God without love for God. There's no such thing as that. These Pharisees, they could stand there and worship God with their lips till they roll off on the floor. And Jesus said, it's all vain. You know what vain means? Zero. It profits them nothing. Right now we could go into the love chapter. Though you do all of these things and have not love, profits you nothing. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Got to keep going. Alan's going to want to preach and everything. I hope I get every verse, what every verse he was going to use anyway. But I love Alan. I love Alan. He does the same to me. It's fun. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, at the conference, okay, Richard Edgar preached here, right, while I was gone. That rascal stole my message. And I was showing people. I was showing them. I already, just like this one, I had it printed already in my Bible before he preached. He couldn't have seen it. Verse by verse, that rascal stole my message. I had to go pray and stuff. Get another message. He was astounded when I showed him. I said, I had this printed before your cotton-picking service. Isn't that amazing? Same mind? Oh, my. Anyway. All right. You're in Matthew, I think. Going over to Matthew 23. Let's talk a little bit about hypocrisy and love that is not love and things like that. We've got the scribes and Pharisees we've been talking about here, and Jesus is plainly saying, in vain they do worship me. Why? Their heart is far from me. They're hypocrites. Now, Matthew 23 is a long chapter, just list this thing after thing after thing after thing that Jesus told them why they were hypocrites. I only picked out two. We're just going to look at two of them for the sake of time. So in verse 14, Matthew 23:14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Now notice, hypocrites. Oh, there it is. For you devour widows' houses. How did they do it? By their doctrine. Don't have time to teach the widows' mite again today, but be good to review it for you. For you devour widows' houses. Now notice, and for a pretense, make long prayer. Therefore, you're going to have loss of reward. Is that what it says? Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation. Now, when it says pretense, that means they know what they're doing. They knew that doctrine would result in them eventually winding up with the title deed. Because once you've given everything else, I'll just tell you in a nutshell. In a nutshell, the doctrine was you're not being blessed because you're not giving enough to God. So you keep giving more to God. Well, what's my problem now? You're not giving enough. So you give more to God. Well, what's my problem now? You're not giving enough. Well, eventually you only got one thing left, and that's a deed to your house. And they would take it and do it knowing they're doing it, and then go in the temple and worship God. And if you think that's not happening in the pulpits today, it is happening. Any of them to tell you need to max out your credit card to get God's attention are not God's preachers. They are not telling the truth. I was real nice right there. Real nice. Anyway. So one, they're thieves. They're using religion to steal from widows. Come on. It doesn't get a whole lot worse than that. And they're doing it knowing what they're doing. And then go into the temple and worship God for a pretense and make long prayers. You think God's receiving any of that? No. Verse 15. Here's the second one. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He says it again. Hypocrites. For you compass sea and land. Let's say to make one proselyte. They're very busy in religion. Very busy. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Right about there, they're going, we got to put this guy on a cross. He's not. And do you know that's love speaking? That is the very love of God speaking. He is doing everything he can to break through their shell to snatch these guys out of hell. Because if they don't change, that's where they're going. Somebody loves them enough to tell them the truth. Yes, sir. Okay. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know when it says love does no ill to its neighbor? Love is the fulfilling of the law. See, the word love has been so twisted in America now. You have all kinds of perverted love is love. That's the mantra. Love is love. If Fred wants to love Steve, love is love. Well, we're going to get married someday. We're engaged, you know. And I love her, so it's okay for us to shack up and have relations for years, maybe, before I could, because I love her. And I'm telling you, the bar has been so lowered. Many churches. The Corinthian church was tolerating it in the first century. Here, this guy, everybody knew he had his father's wife, and they're sitting on the front row, and nobody's saying nothing. Well, it's like that today in so many pulpits. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 6, I heard this just real clear. I'm going to do an homage to Alan, and read it out of the New King James, because the word, look at that. He's over there doing fist pump. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, because the wording in the King James in this passage just leaves you in the dark. It's just too old. And you can read it out of the Amplified if you want to. Another, it just bears witness with the same thing. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Oh, see, the bar has been so. Careful. People, Christian, who call themselves Christian, living in fornication, and ask me for counseling. They don't want to do that. They're not going to get what they expect. They think, they honest to God, think they're okay. And that's the preacher's fault. It's the preachers who have, and I don't mean just the radical grace preachers. I mean, it's the bar has been so lowered because they don't want to lose congregations, and they don't want people to get offended, and they want to keep the money coming in. They won't tell the truth. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:9, out of the New King James Version of the Bible. I heard another yay from over here. Do you not know? And boy, the church does not know. The church at large today does not know this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, what does that mean? Well, it says, don't be deceived. And he's talking about preachers here. Don't be deceived by preachers or anybody else. Here's the truth. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves. Now, can I put like the Pharisees? You can use religion to commit thievery. Nor thieves, nor covetous, that's greedy, nor drunkards, plain, nor revilers. Could preach for weeks right there. Nor extortioners, especially those that use religion to extort money out of people. None of them will inherit the kingdom of God. And notice, and such were, past tense, some of you. What's that mean? You're not that anymore. Better not be. Better not be going around calling yourself a Christian while you love your girlfriend and shacked up with her. Remember where it said love does no ill to its neighbor? Here's some counsel. I'm going to give you some counsel. Tongue in cheek. Here's some counsel for you. If you have to fornicate, please don't fornicate with the girl you love, because you don't want to take her to hell with you. Please. Fornicate with people you don't like. I want you to go to hell with me. Let's fornicate. But if you love that girl, for God's sake, don't, for her sake, if you love her, you're not going to do any ill to her. Don't fornicate with the one you really like. Don't take her to hell with you. You're going to hell. There it is. Now that, you don't want my counsel. I'm telling you, that's the counsel you get. You stop that now, and hope to God you don't die in a car wreck on the way home. Can you read? No fornicator makes heaven. No thief makes heaven. That's not the nature he put in you. You're not obeying the gospel. Remember when it says you have obeyed that form of doctrine? Well, the form of doctrine is you've been made free from all of that. Now walk free of it or go to hell. I'm not telling you to go. I'm just telling you. You understand what I... That's what it says. No, I'm going to read it again. It's like, what? I can hear it. Not hear so much, but there. What? Let's read it again. Out of the New King James Version. 1 Corinthians 6:9. I just got a few more things to say. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. Now, I lost my place. Isn't that great? That's what I don't like about these. I'm going to start again. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And the Amplified, that last part is even stronger. Let's see. In just a second. Let me read that last part. Nor extortioners and robbers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. This is not talking about a loss of reward. It's talking about going to hell. It means repent. Exactly right. Hallelujah. Okay, enough. Hypocrisy is a terrible sin in the eyes of God. To say you love Him, to put on a show of loving Him in front of people, yet to remain a greedy, selfish, unclean, sexually immoral person who will steal from people in the name of religion, you are still a child of hell. Your only hope is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you need to do it today. Do it today. Don't die as a fornicator. Don't be in a car wreck today as an adulterer. But Jesus is promising that the least born again person, remember He says, your righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. He's saying the least born again person in the kingdom of God is greater than all of the true prophets of the Old Testament, including John the Baptist. And most certainly, the righteousness of a truly born-again person will exceed the righteousness of these hypocritical scribes and Pharisees. I just wrote this paragraph. Our churches in modern times are filled with preachers who have lowered the bar much worse than the scribes and the Pharisees did of that day. Now, even those who would not be classified as, air quotes, radical grace preachers have lowered the bar with teachings that make people think they can continue to live in iniquity and still make it to heaven. That's not what 1 John teaches. That's not what Jesus taught. The grace of God has given you the righteousness of Christ Himself to empower you to live above sin. I'm going to finish with these two verses. Here is the true grace of God. And it's Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is the purest definition of grace I have found in the Bible. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now it teaches you something. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly when? In this present world. Now make sure on that day Jesus knows you. Look over, I can look it up later. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. You're going to make sure He knows you. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you name His name, if you have Christ in you, if you've been born again, the form of doctrine we're delivering to you is the same one He delivered. You'll no longer walk in darkness because you had the light of life. Go and sin no more. Because you can. The grace of God has empowered you with the light of life. Don't walk in darkness anymore. Repent today.